Okay, so welcome to another semester of From the Rabbi's Desk. So, two shailas that came up today. One of them was just a tshuva that someone sent me to. I was going to do a different shaila, but I thought this was a funny tshuva. There was a Rav Rimon has, right, we should do two shailas or three shailas? What have we been doing?
Two.
Two, right? Okay, so we'll do two. So, one of them was a shaila that was asked Rav Rimon today. As you may know, it snowed in Israel. And when it snows in Israel, it's like everyone is so tickled and like excited. Like everyone I know in Israel has been sending me pictures of like snowflakes, like as if I've never seen a snowflake before. Like, oh my gosh, it's snowing in Israel. And so apparently Rav Rimon was asked an interesting shaila. A child built a snowman and wanted to know, can you use a Shemitah carriage for a nose of a snowman? So that was the shaila Rav Rimon. I was asked. I don't know if you saw, someone made a snow sculpture of Rav Vadia Yosef, complete with sunglasses on it. You know, Snow Vadia Yosef. So that's Shaila number one that Rav Rimon was asked. Shaila number two, someone texted me the following. Interesting Shaila that happened to me over Shabbos, meaning last Shabbos. I left my house to Daven Mincha, and in the middle of the street was an Amazon package. Meaning just sitting in the middle of the street. So he said, we looked at the name, and it was a Jewish person who lived two blocks away. I assume the package fell off the truck. Here's the shaila. Is the package muktzah? If it's muktzah, is it mutter to bring it inside because of Hashavas Aveda? Is Amazon even Hashavas Aveda to begin with? Because it's different than mail, since if the person doesn't get the package, he'll just get another one. Is it even considered Hashavas Aveda, since it's not really his yet? I think I know the answer, but thought it's an interesting question. Okay, so that is Shaila number two. So Shaila number one relates to using a Shemitah carrot for a snowman, for a nose of a snowman. And Shaila number two is about the Amazon package that you find in the middle of the street on Shabbos that belongs to another Jew. So you have, on the one hand, the Chashash of Muktzah, on the other hand, the mitzvah of Mitzvah Daraisa, of Hashavas Aveda. What is one to do in that situation? So we'll start with the in-person. I guess people could vote in the chat also, but the in-person is always going to... All those prefer Shaila number one. Okay, all those who prefer Shaila number two. Okay, looks like a pretty significant majority. I don't think we even have to go to the internet voting. We do have some votes here, so let's at least see what people said. 2, 2, and 1. Okay, so right. Okay, so if anyone is interested in Shaila number one, you could read Rav Rimon's Tshuva. I'm sure it's not hard to find online, but it's in Hebrew. at the end of the day, just to give you the quick summary. Well, we'll see if we have time to get to it. Yeah, I'll mention now. At the end of the day, he says you can use it, but you should eat the carrot afterwards. You know, put it in the thing. Take your pictures. Send it to your relatives in America. Then take the carrot out. And if you have not shmita the carrot, that would be even better. He goes through the halamdas, whether it's a violation of gram ibud of peros shavias, whether it's a violation of bizayon of peros shavias. So, and then he has a little nice musar about the message of snow, al piashkafa. So, okay. So let's go back to our shayla. So the Amazon package in the middle of the street. So you see a Jewish person's name on it. It's Shabbos. It's sitting in the middle of the street. What do you do? So what are the? So the fellow who asked the question, as you might be able to tell, is a rabbi. He's familiar with all the issues. So that's why he was able to set it up so nicely, that on the one hand he has this concern of muktzah, on the other hand he has this potential mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. So is it muktzah?
Only if it came from outside
the tchum. Is that the only way it could be muktzah?
No. If you don't know what's inside, maybe
you don't know what's inside, right? There might be something that's muktzah inside. There might be a sefer that's not muktzah inside, right? So how do you know if it's muktzah? So wait a second. There are two possibilities that it might be muktzah, you're saying, right? That maybe it came from outside the tchum, and even if it's from inside the tchum, because you have a new Amazon fulfillment center on Rockaway Turnpike, right? So even if it's, is that place open yet? I don't think it's open yet. So even if they say that once that's open for us five towns,
we'll
is that...
We'll never go on Rockaway Turnpike again.
but they say that as soon as you order from Amazon, you'll get it like 2 hours later, right? That's it's going to be nice for us. What?
I'm only in jail 2 hours.
I don't know. We'll have to find out. So it may have come from outside the tchum. Even if it comes from inside the tchum, it might be mukhtza. It might be a problem. L'chora, right? You could say. So we have to first discuss, is that true that something that comes from outside the tchum is necessarily mukhtza? Would we say a svek sveka about something like, right? Not everything that sounds like a svek sveka is a svek sveka, right? You can't say, is something mukhtza or not mukhtza? And even if it's not mukhtza, maybe it's mukhtza, right? Meaning, like, does that count as a svek sveka? You know, they used to say in Brisk, Rav Simcha Zelig was known to be a big mekel in the city of Brisk. So they used to say, he was the dayan in Brisk, right? Reb Chaim was the Rav of Brisk. Reb Chaim used to ask his shailas to the dayan of Brisk, and he used to say, don't tell me the svara, because if you tell me the svara, I'll be able to dingzach with the svara. That's how Shachta says, I'll be able to take issue with whatever svara you give me. So don't tell me any svaras, just tell me the psak. So they used to say that whenever they had a suffix about anything, they said it's a svek sveka. Suffix, it's mutter, suffix, it's asr, and even if it's asr, suffix maybe for some chazelik as a kula, right? So that's not a, you know, so that's obviously not a real svek sveka. That's the joke that they say. So let's talk a little bit about the halachas of muktzah as far as it relates to this. So the package may have come from outside of tchum. The Shulchan Aruch writes in some Shin Zayin, Se'if Yudalid, that likros beigros hashluchalo, if to read a letter that was sent to you, im eni yodea makosav bav, you don't know what it says in it. He says you shouldn't. You should only be ma'ayin ba. But v'imhuva bishvilo michutz l'tchum tov lizayir shalo yigaba. If it was brought to you from outside the tchum, it's tov lizaher shalo yigaba. Now that's interesting. That's an interesting lashon. It doesn't say asur ligaba, that you're not allowed to. Tov lizar, it's a good idea to be careful not to touch it. Now that's important, because if it were usur, so then you had, let's say in our case you have this issue of an isur of mukta versus a mitzvah v'shavas aveda isur mikami mamona lo dachina. You're not going to be able to violate an isur for a dine mamonis, to be able to provide someone with mamonis. But if it's not an isur, it's like a nice chumrah, an appropriate chumrah to do. That's if there's no pushback on the other side. But when there's a counterbalance on it, right? If you have a chumrah on the one hand, and then, but it's going to cost you the potential chance for a mitzvah daraisa, then you're not going to say observe the chumrah. Then you're going to just You're going to want to. So tov lizayir. What does that mean? That you should be careful not to touch it. So comes along Mishnah Berurah Siman Shin Zayin Simkat Nun Vav VaAchronim Hiskimu De'ein Bazeh Mishum Muktzah Klal. The Achronim say it's not mukta at all. Could the Kaimelim seem tov kufta as vav? The Dov Rabba Michutz Tchum Ein Ba Isra Mukta Afilu Lemisha Huva Bishvilo Da Asa Lehanos Mimenu Alv Roy Lisrael Acher Lehanos Mimena. Even though you may not be able to get hanaa from it if it was brought to you from outside the tchum, but it's not mukta, because it was mutter for someone else, for another Jew to get hanaa from, someone who's from the tchum where it comes from, and therefore it's not going to be mukta. So the Mishnah Berurah seems to believe that the overwhelming majority of poskim believe that a package that was brought from outside the tchum is not mukta. So therefore, unless you're dealing with an item that is inherently mukta, meaning the contents of the package are mukta, which would make the box of buses the davar asra, would make that would turn it into a davar mukta, right? So unless you're dealing with something that's inherently mukta, it would be mutter to move the Amazon box on Shabbos. Now, what if the Amazon box has a print cartridge in it? I don't know, or something like that, right? What do Amazon boxes typically have? They could have anything in it, right? There's nothing you can't buy from Amazon. So there's no predicting what's inside that Amazon box. So it very likely could have mukta, but what kind of mukta would it have in it? So it might have a klisha malachta l'isser. Let's say it has a klisha malachta l'isser. It has pens in the Amazon, right? Pens and pencils. Klisha malachta l'isser. So what would the halacha be about a klisha malachta l'isser? So the halacha is you're allowed to move it l'tzaruch gufo or l'tzaruch makomo. What's l'tzaruch gufo, l'tzaruch makomo? What does it mean? What are the types of the words? L'tzaruch gufo means you want to use it, right? You're not using the pens, you're not using the Amazon box. L'tzaruch makomo, the space that it's taking up is, you need that space. So you don't need the makom. So you're not driving your car on Shabbos. Someone else is going to drive it.
Maybe Yatzal is going to be driving up.
Maybe Yatzal is going to be driving, so it's Tzaruch Makomo, right? Okay. So tzorukuf, okay, but pashas is not a tzorukuf for mekomo. What? Why are you moving it? L'chora, this would have the status of moving it mechama l'tzel. You're moving it to protect it. It's going to get run over by a car, it'll be destroyed, it'll be ruined, it'll be lost, and you're putting it away to protect it. Mechama l'tzel, you're not allowed to be metaltel a kli shemlachta l'iser just to protect it. Mechama l'tzel. And it could be that it's worse than a kli shemlachta l'iser. It could be that it's an even more severe form of muksa, or it could be that it's not muksa at all. So what do you do when you have a suffix whether something is muksa? So there are, you know, whenever you deal with muksa, you always have to deal with two issues. First thing you have to deal with is it muktzah? Then the next issue you have to deal with, okay, let's assume the worst. Let's assume it is muktzah. Now what can I do with it? Is there any way that you're allowed to be metaltal muktzah? Is there any way that you're allowed to move muktzah? So how are you allowed to move muktzah? So you can move it, betiltal begufo, right? You could move it if with your body and you know, by kicking it with your feet, right? If it's so Chazal only asks for carrying or moving muksa in its normal way, but carrying moving muksa with your body, Shulchan Aruch and Shin Yud Aleph Sidches tells us based on the Rush that even though the Rush argues with the Rush that it's the tiltal kalach yad or tiltal begufo, carrying with the back of your hand in an abnormal way or carrying with your body. So you're allowed to move muktzah by picking up the object, let's say with both of your elbows, or by kicking it with your feet. That's what the Mishnah Berurah writes in Siman Shin Ches, Sif Katan Yud Gimel. Chaznish argues with the Mishnah Berurah and says that you're not allowed to kick it, that you're not allowed to move muktzah with your feet, and Chaznish is based largely on the Rash, but that disagrees with the Rash, and he also has a different understanding of the Rash. Chaznish tends to do that, right? I mean, if the Chaznish holds like one Rishon against the Rishon that conventional wisdom holds like, he'll say, first of all, my Rishon is right. Second of all, even your Rishon doesn't say what you think your Rishon says. So that's what the Chaznish does over here also. First of all, we pass like the Rash. Second of all, even the Rash doesn't say what you think he says, and kicking it with your feet is a problem. But generally speaking, we assume that you're allowed to kick with your feet, that you're allowed to kick muksa with your feet. So worse comes to worse, if this is going to be muksa, you're still allowed to kick it, right? So you'd be allowed to kick it for two blocks to get to the guy whose house it is in order to return. But wait, are we sure it's muksa? We're not sure. It's a suffix muksa. So what would you say about a suffix muktzah? So what are the rules of suffix? You don't know what it is. So what would you say? So suffix drabbanan lekulam muktzah is all drabbanan. New counter argument. So muktzah is a unique kind of suffix drabbanan because muktzah is what we call a davar sheyesh lo matirin, that it's something that's usher now, but if you just wait until after Shabbos, then it's going to be mutter. And the halacha is that when you have something that's only probably that the whole shaila is only a temporary shaila, but if you just wait long enough, the shaila will go away, it will become mutter. So then the halach is that a safik davar sheyesh lo matirin on a drabbanan, we're machmir, we don't say safik drabbanan lekula on a davar sheyesh lo matirin. Rashi Maseches Beitza on Daf Gimel and Beis explains that ad sheyochlena be'isser tochlena beheter, because why would you use it now be'isser, why would you deal with it now be'isser, just wait until it becomes mutter. So that's why davar sheyesh lo matirin is not batel. Don't rely on bittel, and don't rely on safik lekula, because you'll have another option for later. Now you could argue, well, wait a second, that's the whole point over here, is that you're not going to have another option later. This thing is going to be gone. And if that's the case, maybe you shouldn't say davar sheyesh lo matirin. You know, there's the Tzlach says that when it comes to hishtamshus, you know, what was the case in Beitza? It's Beitza Daf Gimel. What kind of muksa was it talking about over there? What? A beitza shenolda, right? So how do you use an egg? How do you use a beitza? You eat it. You only get to use it once, right? And so your option is, will I use it now or will I use it later? But you're only going to use it once. You're not going to be able to use it more than one time. Nachon, right? We're all agreed on that, yeah. Right? So says the Tzlach, he says, well, if you have a regular situation of muktza, where it's a kli, and it's just a question of, will you use it now and later, or will you use it only later, the whole svar of davar sheyesh lo matirin falls away. Because the whole svar of davar sheyesh lo matirin is, what are you losing? You're not losing anything. Just wait, and then you'll be able to have it beheter. Yeah, that's true if it's an egg, where don't eat it now, eat it later, it'll be beheter. But if it's something that you can use an infinite number of times, you know, yeah, you're right, I could use it later. And now, also now, I want to use it later, and I want to use it now. So I am losing by waiting. So therefore, it says the Tzlach, you would say that Savit Rabbanan Lakula, even though it's a Davar Sheyesh L'Matir, it's a very Chashuvah Tzlach, Rabbi Ganak wanted to, a number of the poskim on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, Rabbi Ganak pointed out in his Yerodei HaGurus many years ago, that maybe you could say a similar idea. What if you have a Suffolk, you ate fleishigs for lunch, right? But you don't know what time was the last time you put fleishigs in your mouth, right? The meal just kept on going. It was a Shabbos afternoon meal, and a Shabbos, you know, lunch, and it kept on going and going, and they were schmoozing, and they're, you know, talking about the rabbi's drasha, and, you know, something he said controversial. Yeah, so it was going on and on and on and on. And then finally, they get to benching, and you bench, and you look at your watch, and it's like 3 o'clock, and you don't know. I don't know. The last time I ate fleishigs might have been 12:30. It might have been 2 o'clock. And then comes after Shabbos, and you want to have you want to go out for ice cream. You want to go out for you want to have a coffee with milk. Right? You don't want to use the non-dairy creamer. Right? You want to have actual milk in your coffee. So, but you're masupuk whether it's been 6 hours or not. So, what would you say? So, the chiyuv to wait 6 hours is a chiyuv midrabanan. So, you might say, okay, safek drabanan lekula. Ooh, but. Just wait, and then it will be mutter. All the milk in the world will be mutter. But all the milk in the world is a lot of milk. You're not going to be able to eat all the milk in the world anyway. So you might say, I will eat ice cream later, but I also want to eat ice cream now. Meaning you might be able to say the svar of the tzlach, that in a chinami I'll be milchig later, but I also want to be milchig right now. Meaning in addition to being milchig, it's not just like you only get one chance to eat milchigs in your life. It's not like the egg where you have one shot. I can eat milchigs as many times as I want. So maybe that would not have the svara of a davar sheyesh l'matirin. So that's the shaila. Do you say davar sheyesh l'matirin on muksa, the pischei tshuva in Yeridei, and Simon Kofes quotes the tzlach that we just mentioned, that you don't apply the chumra of davar sheyesh l'matirin to kelim, because ad shetochlenu b'isr only applies to something that you can only have once. But it's something that can be used many times, then we're makel. Rav Moshe has a tshuva in Ebenezer Chelik Aleph Simon Lamed Aleph, where he says, Av shalom nachtu rabbeseinu ha'achronim l'chiluk shal tzlach, mikol makom nir reshu emes, roi lismach l'vudina b'shas l'chak. Says Rav Moshe, you know, it's amazing, the tzlach's chiddush is gevaldik, it's such a beautiful chiddush, but it's so strange that no one else said it. And you always have to like question, why did no one else, why isn't this in a Rishon? Why isn't this in another Achron? Why is it that it took who is the tzlach? Nadibud, right? Why did it take till the Nadibud? Nadibud lived when? 1700s? In where? In Prague, right? He was the chief rabbi of Prague. So why did it take that long for someone to come up with this? And no one else said it before him or since him. Like, well, what's the story? So Moshe says, yeah, but it's glot. It's a really good svara. So you're allowed to rely on the Nadibud, that you would say something about Nukula on something like that. So maybe we can't say something about Nukula on something of that nature. So Eliezer points out, the Shulchan Aruch talks about how kelim are not, if you have kelim that are not kosher, right? You don't say it's a davar sheyesh l'matirin because you could just kasher them. Shulchan Aruch says because it's expensive to kasher. So Tzitz Eliezer says, why do you have to say that even, that it's expensive to kasher, to make it not subject to the davar sheyesh l'matirin? If the tzlach were correct, kelim would never be subject to the chumra of davar sheyesh l'matirin. You don't even need the fact that it's expensive to kasher. They're never subject to davar sheyesh l'matirin. So Tzitz Eliezer says, maybe you see against the tzlach. Okay, whatever. So, but maybe there's room to be makel on a suffix that maybe it's not muktzah. But the pashtus is it's davar sheyesh l'matirin. Muktzah is davar sheyesh l'matirin, and therefore if it's a suffix muktzah, you have to treat it as muktzah. So that's on the one side. So let's assume that it might be muktzah. Okay, and if it might be muktzah, you're allowed to kick it, but you're not really allowed to pick it up. What's pushing you to pick it up? Why would you pick up this item? Hashav zaveda. So nu, is it hashav zaveda? So Pasha's yes. So give me the argument that it's not. The guy never made a kinyan on it. And when is he going to be responsible for it? Starting when? What?
Isn't a kinyan the money transfer?
He gave them money, so they made a kinyan on his money, let's say. But what's going to happen? What's going to happen if it never gets delivered to his house and falls over? They'll send him a new one. And they're gonna and he's going to say it never got delivered. So they're going to look through their files in Amazon. And what are they going to look for? Then he looked for the picture of it on the porch. But there's not going to be a picture of it on the porch because it never made it to his porch because it was dropped 2 blocks away, and therefore they'll have no choice but to send him a new one. Right? That's why they take a picture on the porch, so that if it's an Amazon pirate, that's your problem. Right? But if it never got there, it's their problem. So is it really Hashavas Aveda? So it might be Hashavas Aveda, but Hashavas Aveda for who?
For Amazon,
right? It's Hashavas Aveda for Amazon or for the seller. In which case, it's Hashavas Aveda. So who's that for? Who's Amazon? It could be a Nachri. In fact, overwhelming majority. It's like 50-50. It's either someone in Lakewood or it's a Nachri, right? So, let's still assume the majority. I think it's still safe to assume that the majority of Amazon sellers are Nachri. Right, even though it's not as big a majority as the majority of the general population, but the majority of Amazon sellers are probably Nachrim. So what's the din by Hashavas Aveda of a Nachri? Is there a mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda by a Nachri? So that itself is an interesting topic. You know, the Gemara Maseches Bava Kama has Machlokas Amoraim, what the halach is about Gezel Akum. Are you allowed to steal from a Nachri Midoraisa? Everyone agrees it's also Midrabanan. You heard it here first, you're not allowed to steal. Okay? You're not allowed to steal from Jew, you're not allowed to steal from a Nachri. Also to do that. But machlokas, whether it's nisidaraisa or nisidrabanan, to commit gezel akum. But the Gemara says avedas nachri is for sure mutter. Why? State in pasuk lechol avedas achicha. Right, this is Balkori in the house. Lechol avedas achicha. Lachicha atamachzir v'yatamachzir v'knani. That you only have a mitzvah. Shabbos aveda lachicha not to a knani. Not only that, the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us, Amar Vida Marav, hamachzir aveda lenachri alav hakasav omer leman tzvos harava es hatzmeya. What does that mean? Rava, says Rashi, is nachrim shasveim venim tzmeyim liyotzram, who are not thirsty for the Ribbono Shel Olam. Is a reference to the Jewish people who are thirst for a relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. And someone who's machzir aveda lenachri, it's as if he has equated a kuti, a nachri, with a Yisrael. And he's demonstrating that Hashavas Aveda to him is not chashuv because he's fulfilling mitzvahs boro, because he's doing the mitzvah, because you see, he's willing to do it for a kuti as well. So it's just because of his own moral sense of whatever. But it's not because he views it as a fulfillment of a mitzvah, and it sounds like the Gemara is saying, you dafka shouldn't do Avedas Nachri. So, you might say that the counterbalance over here, the counterweight, is not pushing you to do the Hashavas Aveda. The counterweight is pushing you not to do Hashavas Aveda because it's Avedas Nachri. Nevertheless, the Yerushalmi quotes a Maisa with Rabbi Shimon ben Shetach, who's Machzir Avedas Nachri to be Mekadei Shem Shemayim, and people would say, Baruch Elokun di Yisrael, that he would return an Aveda, and they would say, wow, Baruch Elokun di Yisrael. So you see that if there's a Kiddush Hashem involved, then certainly one is supposed to be Machzir Avedas Nachri. And some of the Rishonim say, well, maybe if it's a Nachri that Sefer Chassidim says, a Nachri that observes Sheva Mitzvos, then for sure you should be Machzir the Aveda. The Meiri says that maybe only a Nachri is an Ovid Avodah Zarah that you shouldn't do it, but any other Nachri you can do it. A lot to discuss. In Shulchan Aruch Paskins, Avedas Akum Uterish, Nem Avedas Chicha, Vamachzira Reza over Avera, Meshu Machzikide over Avera. They're not supposed to return Avedas Nachri, but if it's the Kadeshim Shemayim, that it's going to be Mefire Klal Yisrael, and they're going to know that they're Bali Amuna, Hareza Meshubach. So that's what the Shulchan Aruch Paskins. Now it happens to be later Poskim say, everything's a Kiddush Hashem. Everyone's looking every time. Whenever you think you're doing something and no one's looking, you know, there are cameras everywhere. And whatever you do, you know, someone told me, Judge Dan Butler told me that he once bought some soda for a Simcha or something, for a Kiddush, in like Harrisburg, and he had to go back to Pittsburgh afterwards. And he bought like a truckload of soda. And instead of charging him for 10 cases, they charged him for 10 bottles. And he didn't realize, he just gave his credit card, he didn't realize till he was like halfway back to Pittsburgh. So he said, he turned around and he came back and he returned it, and they made such a big deal that it, you know, Kiddush Shem Shemayim, whatever. And he said, you never know when you're watching. He said, a different time he was like, stop, in a grocery store, and the manager came out and said, He said when he did that, they announced on the thing, this Jewish man came all the way back, they announced on like the last week, to make a kid of Mifarim Liotzram, right? He said a different time, like the manager saw him on the camera and came out to greet him. Like, you don't think when you're in the grocery store that there's someone looking at you on the camera. I've had that a few times. Once or twice I was in, one of my good friends from my shul owns a few supermarkets. So once I was shopping in one of his supermarkets, and all of a sudden he greets me in the aisle. I'm like, oh, you always hang out in the produce aisle? He said, no, I saw you on the camera. I saw you walking. They're always watching. They're always watching. So I think the post can assume that that it's no longer us to be machzir avedas akum. Everything's an opportunity for a kiddush Hashem. But you know, over here, do you really, you know, when it's a chance of muktzah on the other end? So you're going to go out of your way to be machzir avedas akum? So give me a counter argument. That, yeah, maybe you should go out of your way to do it. The Yisrael will get his item back, but
delayed.
It's going to be delayed. He wanted it on, you know, he wanted it maybe Friday. Maybe it was supposed to be delivered on Friday. And now he's going to have to wait till after Shabbos, and then he's going to have to send the thing down. He's not going to get it till Tuesday. And, you know, I mean, how's he supposed to live without, you know, whatever it is, you know, till Tuesday? So he's not gonna get it till Tuesday. So that's so it's in that sense you're doing it for the convenience of the Yisrael. Now, what?
Is that a mitzvah?
Ah, so that's the question. Is that a mitzvah? So to what extent do we say there's a mitzvah of Shavuos Aveda? We often think of a Shavuos Aveda, rightfully so, because this is how the Torah describes it. As you see an object, you pick up the object, your machriz, you announce, or you know who it belongs to, and you track the person down, you give them back the object. Is there such a thing of a Shavuos Aveda on something that's not an object? So Rav Moshe has a tshuva in Chosha Mishmer Chel Beis and Chav Beis, where he says that helping another Jew contest a zoning issue that's hurting the value of their property is a Shavuos Aveda. What did he lose? He didn't lose anything. But it's annoying because the value of the property is going to be diminished because of some sort of zoning issue. And you're helping him, you know, his neighbor wants to build something that blocks all the light to his property or whatever, blocks the sun from hitting his swimming pool, I don't know, whatever could, you know, so where they're opening up, something next door that's going to diminish the value of his house, like a shul or something, right? So you want to, I'm just joking, you shouldn't contest it, but you're helping him contest a zoning issue, so that's Hashavas Aveda. You have the Gemara says that one of the reasons why if you see someone drowning, they should save them, is that if you have to return Avedas Mamonos, Avedas Gufa, Lokal Shekein, right? Of course you're going to return the Avedas Gufa. He didn't lose himself, he knows exactly where he is. He's the guy drowning right now, right? So it's not an Aveda, but no, it means that something is going to be lost to him, and therefore there's that's also included in the Mitzvah of Shabbos Aveda. There's actually a funny comment of Rav Shlomo Kluger on that halacha, where he says, wait a second, is saving somebody's life really about Hashavas Aveda? Is that really what the basis of it is? If that's true, maybe you should follow all the criteria and the rules of Hashavas Aveda. What are the rules of Hashavas Aveda? The rules are that Zakin Venul Fikvodo, you don't do Hashavas Aveda. Meaning if, let's say, you're a Chashva Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Shechter gives this example, so forgive me if it sounds a little crass, but Chayv Adam Lomer Blashon Rabo, and you're walking down the street and you see a pair of women's underwear on the street, so someone lost it, but you're going to be a Rosh Yeshiva carrying around women's underwear all day? Zakin Venul Fikvodo, your pater from Hashavas Aveda. Not only pater, it's Machlokes Rishon, it might be Osir for you to do Hashavas Aveda in such a case, because you're not allowed to be mochel on the covet of the Torah in such a way, and be zoyin of the Torah in such a way. So it's us, says Rav Shlomo Kluger, maybe if you see someone drowning, but you're wearing your nice kapata, so yeah, you're a trained lifeguard and you could save them, but your kapata is going to be a mess. So it's going to be zakin veinu lefi kvodo to do that. So maybe then you're going to say that there's no mitzvah to save the person's life. So that's obviously, you know, silly. Why is that silly? What's the gather of zakin veinu lefi kvodo? How do I know if it's not lefi kvodi? You know how I know? Would I do it for myself? If I would do it for myself, right? If a person is, let's say the guy himself with his new kapata is drowning, so would he say? Would he stop flailing and say, well, I'm a mess, just like, you know, I'll just go down? No, of course he's going to try to save his life. Of course he's going to. So if you do it for yourself, then of course you have to do it for somebody else. Bottom line, what should this fellow do with the package? So I asked Rav Shechter what he thought, and he said it's probably not a Shavuos Aveda because it's not his yet, but you know it is going to be an inconvenience. So probably tell him to kick the package. Probably if he can, if it's doable, if he can kick the package all the way to
do,
the.
Do it all the way to it, all the way to there, or if he's closer to his house, kick it to his house and take care of it after
that. Yeah, you could do it to your own house and then take care of it after that. Wherever you're closest, closest from house, and then you know just get it to from person's porch, and then you know take care of it after that. What? So you're gonna damage. So the first kick, you'll realize if.
Those don't necessarily know that like it got dropped from the back of the truck. Like what if some animal dragged it out or like anything else happened? You know, like they took the picture. Yeah, a thief can like drop it somehow.
Yeah, okay, it could have been from. Yeah, you don't know, but I think. Yeah. Overwhelming majority.
Amazon sends, they in their system, they see that it wasn't delivered, so they just automatically send them a new one.
Oh, okay. So then they'll ask another shadow. I got two of these. Now what do I do? Yeah, okay.
Can you keep the package without a roof?
So if it's outside of Nerev, then you have another problem, right? Then you have a big problem. Then it's probably Mutsu also. So then you have a problem. Yeah.
As far about saving the money being Shabbos Aveda, would that just allow you to move any other Jews Muktzah of Mechamel and Tzel?
Why?
Because it's Mechamel and Tzel, so I'm saving the money.
No, but you're not letting move Mechamel
itself. That's my question. If it's Hashabbat, if you're saying that would be Hashabbat Aveda because you're saving money, so how can you ever have the issue of Mechamel itself?
For your own stuff.
But is there no issue of Mechamel itself on his
side? No, there isn't Mechamel itself. You're not letting move it. You're not letting pick it up.
So why wouldn't it be Hashabbat Aveda then? And then if Mechamel itself is helpful for the item, then I'm protecting the item.
Yeah.
And we're going to consider that.
It may be Hashavas Aveda, but you're not allowed to do Hashavas Aveda. You're not allowed to violate an issue to Hashavas Aveda.
Isn't that the same?
No, I mean, the question is, how do you do it without? Right, that's why you're kicking it. You do it without violating it. So. Okay, have a great Shabbos, everybody. Thank you for coming.